little parenting, a little insanity. A podcast for the modern parent. It's Parenthood by Fire. Another episode of greatness. What are you laughing at?
I love the intro, Mike. It's awesome.
We haven't made any good money yet, so as soon as we start rolling the dough in here, we'll pay somebody to professionally do the intros. For right now, you just get me, Mike. That's me. Joined by Jennifer, Elena, and Pedro, the four best...
Just four parents.
That's
trying
right.
to make it work.
Yeah, trying not to mess up too much. We vow to keep it nice and squeaky clean and family friendly here, so we'll keep the... I tend to be a little bit more mouthy than these guys when it comes to my language. And surprisingly, I'll have you all know, just for the record, because you all thought before I had kids that my kids were going to be the first ones to throw off F-bombs and S-bombs and everything like that. Mm-hmm. My kids do not curse. Not at all. Matter of fact, they caught me once. Let me just tell you. I'm cruising down the road, right? And I called somebody an S-head. All right? That was S-H-I. Mm-hmm. Rhymes with ship. Okay?
So got it.
You got it when I was...
I'm a really bad speller.
Okay, can I try that? No. So I'm cruising.
Fine, I got it.
I'm cruising down the road. And see, I'm getting distracted. Cruising down the road, I had to visualize this here, okay? And I'm like, you stupid beep, you know, okay? And my kids, ooh, daddy said a bad word. Daddy said a bad word, right? Mm-hmm. What was the bad word? Stupid was the bad word.
Oh, yeah, that's S word.
Yes,
stupid
definitely.
Was the bad word.
Yes.
And so then my wife, God bless her, I love her to death, says, oh, it's okay, guys. It's okay, guys. Daddy has a potty mouth, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, guess what? Guess where that goes to? You just know that's going back to daycare, right? And, you know, one of these days, the kids are going to be there. I'm going to say something, and my son's going to be, you know, because all kids just repeat what their parents say. Oh, it's okay. My daddy has a potty mouth. And then everybody at daycare's going to think I'm a sailor, which, in fact, I am. But I don't want them to know that because I'm a perfect parent.
Yeah, right.
It's all right. You okay over there? You having?
I'm good.
Okay, good. Just making sure.
So I have not as bad, but one of my pet peeves about driving with the kids is parking, and people apparently don't know how to park anymore. So I'll get to a place and somebody will have a nice Honda 2-door Civic and they'll have parked it crooked and mm-hmm. it takes up like a space and a half. And you're like, it's a 2-door Civic. And so I was driving by one. We were on the way to the mall and I was going to park and I'm like, oh, look at this jackhole. And that's what I said, jackhole.
Jackhole. Right? All right, that's acceptable.
Pretty tame. And yeah. then my son's like, Mo was like, yeah, look at this jackhole.
It just doesn't sound as good coming out of his mouth, does it?
I'm like, oh, buddy, we don't really say, daddy didn't mean to, I
kids
shouldn't, so said that. We don't say that anymore. It's like, oh, okay, daddy.
What's the worst thing you've said in front of your kids? I'm looking at Jennifer right now. She's got a guilty look on her face.
Yeah, I've said some pretty bad stuff. I remember at one point I had Dewey in front of me when he was probably about 18 months old, and I was helping him like put his pants on. He was faced away from me, like standing right in front of me, and something happened. And under my breath, I just go, "Ah, shh," and he turns around, and he looks at the whole room, and he goes, "Ah, shh."
Yeah.
And the whole room laughed. I'm like, "No! Don't laugh at that." Damage was done, but yeah. Really, that was the only time he ever said it, and it was one of those under the breath, and just the fact that I was real close to him, he heard it perfectly.
Mm. So. That's you, Lainey.
He hasn't caught me yet. Daddy, though, is another.
His daddy is an Italian, little fiery Italian.
Yeah. So
I don't offend any Italians there, but hey,
he's a passionate Italian. Let's just say
passionate,
that
passionate
he's a passionate man, isn't he?
He is.
Yes, he is.
Thank you very much. No, he slipped a word or two in there. I can't remember a time where I have said a word in front of him yet.
Has Rocky?
Oh, because you're perfect.
No.
Yeah, because you never say anything bad.
No, I wait till after he goes to bed.
then it's just swear hour. It's like
she gets all
hey,
colorful.
Dan,
she
we're puts going it outside.
Beep 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 beep.
It sounds like Morse code. Yeah.
You have a timed filter.
She's got do not disturb on for most of the day.
From the hours of this time.
What about
time?
You, Pedro? Worst thing you said in front of your kid?
Besides jackhole.
Oh,
jackhole's mild as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. No, yeah.
I don't want my kids saying it though.
Me neither. But
I'm sure I've said like a hole, or I've dropped an F-bomb or two, but very quietly. and usually not so they can hear me. And generally, I like to play like I don't know, some music loud in the back so I can swear under my breath and they don't hear me when I'm driving. Mm-hmm. So
cute daddy's music.
Yeah. But yeah, I think probably. Oh, the other one was I think I dropped a GD.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. The good old GD. I got called out on that just yesterday. Oops.
Well, yeah. So here's what happened. When Otis was, because he's still 17 months, give or take, and he was just learning to walk, about 10 months old. We had a small little folding chair for kids in the back. So it's like a little car's chair. And he was trying to climb up onto it. Well, he got a little top heavy, fell forward, smacked his face on the ground, and started bleeding from a really big fat lip. And I was trimming up some yard work or something with Mo, and I run over and I'm like, Otis, GD, and I take the lawn chair and I throw it and I'm like, GD, and I run into the house. I'm like, God, GD chair, and I throw it and I'm like looking through my first aid kit and like really calm, really, really calm paramedic that I am. And my kids is screaming and crying and I'm like, just stop bleeding. And Mo's like,
bleeding. Is that all you have to do?
Just tell them? Yeah, exactly. I haven't tried that. That doesn't work for me.
It's a flesh wound. Yeah. Well, I'm holding gauze, that wasn't the only thing. And of course Mo picks the time to like ask me all this stuff, right? And then he's like, so daddy, what happened? Is he gonna be okay? What's going on? I'm like, just go in the other room and leave me alone for a second with the kid so I can get him the stuff.
Give me a GD moment.
Yeah, exactly.
I need a GD moment.
Moral of the story is he gets to tell that same story. Mo gets to tell that same story to the manager of Jamba Juice later on that day because I feel bad.
Awesome.
And gets a free cup. A free reusable Jamba Juice cup. Yep.
There you go.
Awesome.
So, take advantage of the system with those kids, by the way.
Totally.
I make my kids throw the pouty lip out all the time so we get things for free. Do that all the time. My son did something the other day. We were at Walmart. And I didn't put this one on the website, by the way. We've got some quotes that come up on our website, parenthoodbyfire.com. And any ridiculous or crazy thing that our kids have ever said in public, whether it's embarrassing, whether it's super funny, whatever it may be, you'll see them on our website and they kind of circulate around. This one I can't put out there because it's just too GD embarrassing.
So you'll put it on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll put it on the podcast. But
for yours only.
Yeah, we're walking around. We're doing some shopping there at the good old Walmart. We'll give them a shameless plug. They don't need our attention here, but what? Nonetheless, we're cruising around and there is a woman that's riding around on one of these motorized scooters and she's overweight, and whether she's on the scooter because she's overweight or maybe she has an issue with knees or whatever, my son says in plain as day, very clear, goes, those kind of scooters are for fat people, aren't they, Dad? And it's that moment where you're a parent and I'm like, first of all, where did he get this? Because I've never, ever, ever, ever said that at all.
In front of him.
Public or private. Thank you, Pedro. I've never said it at all. And I don't know if he's just, you know, typically, at least at Walmart, maybe he's just observed multiple people that are overweight riding them. And
I'm sure.
He came to the own conclusion.
Yeah, it's
processing. But the problem is, the problem that I have as a parent is that happened and I just didn't know what to do. I kind of went into like a cold sweat. And I'm thinking to myself, this parent thinks that came from me, you know, that he got that by listening to me and that I'm insensitive or that I am whatever, right? And so I have to say that I didn't handle it as good as I think I probably could have.
What did you do?
Yeah.
I ran away with a child. I just grabbed him and ran.
Ran.
Did you really?
No. I you know what? I don't know.
Quietly snuck away.
He was I don't know if she heard him. I don't think it was within an earshot. Well, here's the thing. We were moving in direct. It's hard to visualize this, but we weren't. If I had gone back to talk to this person, we were already several aisles apart. It was kind of. He said it after we were like two aisles separated and moving in opposite directions. So I don't think this person heard. I was embarrassed whether this person heard or not heard. I talked to him. I didn't go back to the person and have him apologize, which I think that's really where I missed the boat. I think I should have done that. Nonetheless, I did have a talk to him.
What did you ask him?
I said, first of all, we don't call people fat. I said, that's very disrespectful, first of all. Second of all, we don't, there is many reasons why somebody would use a chair like that to get around this store. And there could be a number of different things. That person might not be able to walk. There's people out there in the world that don't have use of their legs like you do, buddy. So, I kind of went down that route with him. I mean, any other way would have been an assumption. I have no idea why the person was using the chair, you know?
Oh, true. Well, I just know that when something like that occurs and Mo says something that's kind of catches us by surprise, like he recently said to my wife when they were playing, I'm going to track you down to the ends of Earth and kill you.
Ooh.
I'm like, oh, that's nice. What do you think that means? And he caught it at kindergarten because he goes to kindergarten now. I was like, so we ask him, where did that come from? Or where did you learn that? Or what do you think that means? And so I had a very similar situation with him saying something. But the lady did hear. She wasn't on a scooter. But he did just commented, you know, look at how big that lady is over there. And I had to explain to him that people come in all shapes and sizes and that everybody is the same. And my wife actually told me later, a good way to do that is to say, well, how many eyes does she have? Or how many, what's her, does she have a nose? Does she have lips? Does she have, you know, because those are all similarities that most of us, I mean, sure, there are occasionally a person without both eyes or without their nose, but very few and far between. Unless you live in a leper colony, but then that's true. Another,
yeah, it's a whole other problem.
Yeah,
whole other set of expectations.
Yeah, that's social sort of norms work out there. But yeah, so that's one way to kind of show that everybody's the same. We have all the same basic parts. They may look different on different people, but they have all the basic same parts. And so, but in that case, when Mo did say, "Look at how big that lady is," she did hear. I had him say that, you know, we don't say stuff like that, and I had him apologize. And the lady was very thankful for me.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. That's
and then
the
I took
right
him home and beat him.
You took him home and gave him a
bar of soap and a towel.
Nice.
No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. He had to eat the bar of soap.
He ate the bar of soap, exactly. The good old washing the mouth out. I don't know if, I think we've done that. I don't know if you guys have done. Oh, I think we have.
It's really tough with liquid soap, let me tell you.
Oof. A lot of foaming.
You know, as with every single episode we do here on the Parenthood by Fire podcast, we give an opportunity to one of the hosts here on the show to bring a topic to the table tonight. It is the Jennifer's turn. That's what kind of English is that? It's Jennifer's turn to bring a topic for the show here. What did you bring?
All right, so I'm bringing something forward kind of near and dear to my heart and a place where a lot of my parenting guilt comes from, and school starting back up. The type of work that I do is ramping back up. I work with a lot of teachers, and so the school year starting for my children as well as for
what
the
type
teachers.
Of, remind us again, what type of work do you do?
Yeah, so I work with preschool teachers. So every year around September, I get a whole new group of preschool teachers and do some interaction coaching and things like that with them. And so not only are my kids going back to school, but the teachers I work with are all going back to school. So that means our schedule is going to get a lot busier. And so it kind of got me thinking, wow, we've had a great summer. I've got to spend a lot of time with my kids. We've taken some vacations. We've done some really cool things. And now it's back to the grind. And with that comes some parenting guilt of how do I be a parent and be everything to my kids and work outside of the home. So whether it's working part-time or full-time, there still must be those feelings that other parents, I hope, have of feeling nervous and guilty and worrying about are you doing what you need to do for your kids? And so that's kind of the topic that I wanted to talk about and what's going on in my life right now. So the biggest piece is probably time and attention. You know, my kids get dropped off at school at 8 o'clock in the morning. They're in school until 3:30 in the afternoon. You know, over the summer, I was able to pick them up. They go year round. But I was able to pick them up right at 3:30 and have our great afternoons. And now they're going to be in aftercare until 5 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference. And then by the time you get home, you get dinner, you get homework done, all of those kinds of things, it's time for bed. And I feel like I need to really prepare for quality in time with them. And so that's kind of where I'm struggling. And I want to see if any of you guys had any strategies for ways that you make sure that you have extra time with your kids, and how do you make, if it's not quantity, how do you make it quality time? Because I need some new ideas.
Yeah, Well, the new pickup time for the kids is what, 5:30 or 5?
It's going to be probably around 5.
5? Okay, yeah. What about you, Elena?
I pick him up at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, okay.
And it's kind of a whirlwind after that, but we have some pretty strict rules. I mean, not strict, we're as flexible as we can be with what we do, but Dan works for a company, a technology company, and he's on a worldwide team. And so that means that he can be working really all hours of the day. So one thing that he has done consciously is that he's blocked off the hours between 5 and 8 o'clock so that there's no work overlap for him. And at the same time, he prepares dinner for our family. And so when we come home, there's no television. And we go into Rocky's playroom and we, you know, sing songs, play games, play Lego, you name it. And we just spend that time until it's dinner. And then after dinner, we try to do a game or do some outside time. We found some great garage sale finds. Like, we have a little mini bounce house. And that's
nice.
A reward. And we did some home improvements so that even in bad weather, we can have some outside time. And so he has a lot of outside toys that are okay. And we try to make that time as fun as possible, but also in a mix with chores. So we also have chores around the house. And so mommy and daddy have chores as well. So it depends on who's doing what chore. So Dan has the chore of making dinner, but
does Rocky have chores right now as well?
He does have chores.
He does.
He has chores.
Interesting.
He is responsible for feeding the dog.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a very achievable.
Yeah, it's relatively not difficult. I mean, he's just
close to the ground.
Down there with him.
No, got a dot.
Has he ever tried to eat the food? Just out of curiosity.
No, actually, he's never tried to eat the food.
Okay.
Why not? It's good for the teeth. Well, the dog's teeth.
Well, he knows it's Vinny's.
Oh. Okay.
It belongs to Vinny. So.
Yeah. So I work from home, and I work on a global team as well. So I'm often up very early in the morning for international conference calls. Luckily, everybody seems to snooze off at about 3 p.m. We're on the West Coast, so 3 p.m. Pacific, things really start to roll off. Now, every once in a while, I'll take the opportunity, I'll go pick the kids up early, and we'll go to yoga or something like that. We'll do something out of the ordinary, like as a surprise. So that's one thing. You know, easier said than done, depending on the work schedule, but I'll do that. I'm typically like your husband, Lena, like your husband, I cook the meals. So when the kids come home, there's a hot meal. My wife, Jennifer, picks them up on the way home. And so everybody's home by about 5:30. But I try to be a good parent when it comes to bedtime. And bedtime is pretty strict at 8 o'clock. Now, it used to be earlier. Back when they were younger, I think I was doing 7:30. I might have even been doing 7. But as we fell into our work schedules, I was feeling I couldn't. There's too small of a window there. I couldn't do it. But we get the kids home at 5:30. It's usually a whirlwind because people are either tired. You know, both of my kids don't nap either. My daughter's in first grade. My son is pre-K. And neither one of them is doing any kind of napping anymore. So they come home, they're tired, they're cranky. There's that whiny phase. And honestly, a lot of the times in the evening, it starts off as just a whirlwind of pain and, you know, or fighting or whatever.
Right.
And then I only have 2 hours. So I got to make the best of that 2 hour slice. So from parental guilt, I feel terrible because I want more than 2 hours.
Can I ask for clarification? Is it like 8 o'clock upstairs for bath time or is it 8 o'clock in bed?
It's typically 8 o'clock in bed. I think we've started bath time usually we'll start bath time about 7:40, 7:30-ish. So yeah, it's 8 o'clock, but my kids are the masters of stall tactics. So, I mean, even if we're in bed at 8, mom and dad haven't left the room till 8:30 easily. Cause then we got to switch and read stories.
I got you beat because my children have the unfortunate task of having mom as a sleep coach. My 8-year-old and 5-year-old are in bed at 7:30 every night.
In bed
at 7:30 because they're not napping anymore. They get up at 6:15 every morning. They are allowed to come out of the room at 6:40. And so just because of that, I have to count backwards to make sure they're getting enough sleep. So yes, by the time we get home, it's even more pressure on me because we are showering at 7 o'clock and it's in and out. And then we are reading the books and they're in bed, lights out with
your kids are showering, both boys?
Yes.
God, you're lucky. My daughter will shower. My son will not shower.
Oh, I love the shower.
No, he will not. I hate that. That's awesome.
He'll get to it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I hope so. What about you, Pedro? You're a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
So you might have some different perspective here.
Mm-hmm. I, I remember I sit down sometimes and I think about it, and I think about, you know, all of you are my friends, and we know each other outside of the podcast, and I think, I don't know how they do it. And just listening to each one of you describe it, it kind of sounds like what I was expecting. It just a mass rush to get stuff done, cook dinner, do the laundry, whatever needs to get done, feed the dog, feed the kids, get them bath, get them book read, all that. And luckily, most of the time when I'm not working, and I do occasionally, like I said, work, I'm able to do all of it on my own. We'll get up in the morning, kids get up, usually about 6:15, give or take, and I make breakfast, I make coffee, sometimes I'll make eggs and bacon and other stuff, because I'm like, I'm stay-at-home dad, and I can
Pedro's
do that.
House for breakfast.
Totally.
I know, I want to go to Pedro's house. Man.
When you serve it?
Bring some of that with you, please.
I made a killer strata the other morning.
I'm really strata. Good at opening cereal bar wrappers.
Are you?
I'm good at microwave waffle or toaster waffles. Oh, yeah.
I can slice my way through an apple super quick.
Rocky eats at preschool.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even feed him.
No, I have to take all the food, but he eats with his friends.
So you bring it like prepared?
Yeah.
In the morning?
Yeah, we do cut up fruit. He does yogurt and then sometimes cereal too. He eats a lot.
So Rocky eats breakfast, lunch at preschool.
Yes, he eats breakfast and lunch.
Maybe a snack or two if they might.
Yeah, but I bring breakfast. I mean.
Oh, no, no, no.
I have to prepare that.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm impressed. Yeah. Whoa.
Hey. Oh, easy tagger.
See, my wife and I have kind of tag teamed it. She, I work in the home and I typically don't get dressed for work. I know it's terrible.
Hence the pants.
Pantless
issue.
Home.
Hey, you know what? Don't judge.
Judgment.
I've been on with CTOs and CIOs of major Fortune 500 companies in my boxer shorts. I have. I'm telling you right now. And, you know, and when somebody flips on a webcam, I'm like, oh, you know, my camera, it's unfortunately, it's not working, you know.
This is coming from the IT guy of the place.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. You know, we can't all do that. For us, my wife will get ready. I'll bring the kids down. I'll start the breakfast routine. I mean, I'm pretty much the feeder. Although my wife is fantastic at preparing the lunches ahead of time. So the lunches are all ready. Mm-hmm. But even, Pedro, to your point, being a stay-at-home dad, even the mornings are kind of there isn't a lot of enjoyment. I'm not sitting on the couch.
Well, you're meeting at school time, right? They have to be at
7:40 start for my kids.
That's early.
Yeah,
we're 8:30, and I get them there by 8 so they can play.
Nice.
Outside.
Yeah. Bell rings 7:40 in the classroom. So
what time are they done with their day?
2:20.
Okay. That makes sense.
See, my son, he's in a half day kindergarten, so he doesn't. I'm actually kind of glad because he doesn't have to be at school until 11:25, and he's done at 3:10. So if it was in the morning, it'd be a lot tougher because I wouldn't have to make it lunch. So I get up, but there's not a lot of enjoyment either. They watch a little TV. Mo makes his bed and he gets dressed and I make breakfast and we eat and my wife comes out of the room at some point dressed and ready for work. I make her breakfast. I give her coffee. She gets to eat and then I have to try and shuffle food in my face while I'm, getting the rest of the stuff ready. So I'm making lunches and the rest of everything. But when the evening time comes, if I get a chance, I make dinner ahead of time, or at least I can make dinner. My wife comes home about 4:30 and dinner's made. She can play with the kids. And so we don't have a lot of that, issues of trying to have good family time when I'm not working. When I do work, however, it's crazy hectic because I usually don't get done until really late, or if I don't get done, it's like 6 o'clock and I'm not home until 6:30. And so she's gotten home, but my mother-in-law's there and sometimes stuff's made, sometimes stuff not, and then it's clean up and it's not the same when I'm not home. So at that point, when I get home, the kids are ready for bed because the littlest one goes, Otis goes to bed at like 7 and Mo goes to bed at 7:30. And so I barely even get a chance to see them sometimes when it's like that. So in those cases,
imagine doing that every single
day. I feel bad. Like I think I put on the website under our pictures about the hosts and stuff. Like when I'm at work, I'm looking forward to coming home, and when I'm looking forward for the day off, when I actually, even though they drive me nuts sometimes, I'm looking forward to coming back and hanging out with them and at least having that little bit of time. Because what is fun is, when they do come home, when my wife does come home, I can turn on the on iTunes or on Pandora. We have a little dance party. We can hang out and do that kind of stuff. And I know for you guys, that's probably almost impossible on the weekdays. Impossible.
No, we put on Pandora and dance to He calls it guitar music radio. Dan has a station.
Guitar.
Dan dances?
Rocky and I do.
Oh, okay. All right, good. I pictured your feisty little Italian husband doing a little...
No, he's busy cooking.
Yeah, gotcha. Exactly. about wearing the pants right there.
He's an excellent cook.
All right. Well, I have a couple of things, so I...
And I'm sorry, by the way. I'm playing footsie with you.
Mike keeps playing footsie with
me. I keep rubbing against your legs. Sorry.
I'm kind of thinking it's on purpose.
Well, one of them was, actually. Okay, but go ahead. Good. I'm sorry.
All right. So I did a little bit of research to try and make myself feel better and come up with some strategies that that hopefully might help some other people and spending more time with your kids or at least feeling less guilty about being a working parent and a full-time parent. So the first one is basically it just comes down to you're always there when your kid really needs you. So if there's ever a big crisis, a huge injury, or they just really need their mom or dad, you're going to be there regardless of what's going on. And so making sure that you know that they have everything they need, all their needs met, and being happy, I guess, with that. So another one was... think about achieving balance over time and not necessarily daily. So you might not have the balance, you know, every single day, and you might not have gotten as much time as you wanted with your kid, but maybe you're able to put extra time in over the weekends. And so if you look at it on a weekly basis rather than a daily basis, then that time is there. Things like being present. So no technology. You know, a lot of parents, you know, are attached to the phone, have the tablet mm-hmm. open. You're Amen, kind of sister. Always on call.
My kids have their own DVR and their own TV.
Yeah. So
can you believe that?
Taking away the technology and having to be family time. It's really easy to sit at the dinner table and have everyone, you know, checking their email or listening to this or wanting to plug into that, but just shutting at the dinner table down.
TV's off, everything off, right? Is that how we do it?
No.
That's how we do it.
No, I let them all watch TV. We have our own individual iPads and we just sit and watch our own shows.
Nice.
You just FaceTime each other?
No, I don't want to look at them. I've seen them all day. No, you're exactly right. The only thing I will do is sometimes just to set the mood a little bit, put a little smooth jazz in the background.
We do piano music.
That's nice. Yeah. Yes.
So, but I know
that kind of technology.
Smooth jazz. Nice. He's working on kid three over here.
No. Yeah, I wish. Not for me anymore. That's right, ladies. But I just find that brings the mood down a little bit. And we talk. And my wife and I can be like, how's the day? What's going on? And so for dinner time, I wish that was more. And when I grew up, we didn't have that kind of dinner time. We did for a little bit. And then my family life got kind of hectic. But I like that. I like sitting down. So that's an awesome piece of advice. Yeah. Dinner, great. If you can.
Yeah, if you can.
Yeah.
So the last one, and this is the one that I think made me feel the best and one I'm going to try and remember, and that what balance in how it looks to you doesn't need to be how it is for everyone else. And so your family and the way you handle your time and the makeup and what you choose to do with your children doesn't need to look like what everyone else is doing. And so you need to create the balance that works for you, because we're all individuals and we all have family needs that need to be met in different ways. So I think I'll walk away just kind of feeling I need to chill out, and what I'm giving my kids is enough, and I'll be happy with that.
So how do you do it? For everybody listening, how do you do it? How do you balance the work life, the home life, and all of that? Because obviously you've heard that the four of us, you know, I suffer from the guilt like you guys do. Hit us up online, parenthoodbyfire.com, link over to our Facebook, and tell us, how do you do it? Matter of fact, we'll have the question out there, so comment on it. Have a wonderful week, folks. Thanks again for listening to the show. Again, you can interact anytime with the show, parenthoodbyfire.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.